Welcome, I'm Hannah Baba, sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and this is your call. How often do you go out to a restaurant for a meal, or a quick bite, or coffee? According to a 2013 Rasmussen report, 58% of Americans say they eat out at least once a week. So when you're thinking about where to dine, what factors into your decision? Maybe you consider location, or cost, or efficiency of service. And, of course, the deliciousness of the food, right? But when was the last time you took into account how the restaurant pays its workers, how it treats its workers, or where and how the restaurant gets its ingredients that end up on your plate? Or do you care? And if you were to ask yourself those questions, where would you go for answers? Traditional restaurant guides don't really offer much in the way of labor practices or sustainability of ingredients, but we have some guests on today's show that have some ideas. So today we're bridging that gap between restaurants and you, the patron, to talk about how we can dine out enjoyably, but at the same time, responsibly. Today, joining us on the show is Saru Jayaraman, the co-founder and co-director of the Restaurant Opportunities Center United, that's ROC United, an organization that organizes restaurant workers to win workplace justice campaigns, partner with responsible restaurants, and launch cooperatively owned restaurants. Saru is also director of the Food Labor Research Center at UC Berkeley and author of Behind the Kitchen Door. Thank you for joining us, Saru.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And also with us is Melissa Kogut. She is executive director of Chefs Collaborative, a national organization of 12,000 chefs working to transform our food system. Melissa is author of the Chefs Collaborative Cookbook, and she joins us by phone from Boston. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. Great to be here.
Hi. So we also want you, the listener, to join the conversation. We know you probably have something to say about this. So how often do you eat out? And when you do eat out, what do you want to know about the restaurant when you go out to eat? Or do you care? Does it matter? Do you know of any reliable resources, you know, a website, an app that tells you not just which restaurants are delicious, but also which ones treat workers well or use sustainable ingredients and materials? If you do have any ideas, please give us a call at 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255. What matters to you most about a restaurant? So let's start with the food workers and kind of the labor side of things. According to the Labor Department, food service workers and their colleagues at bars and restaurants dominate the list of the lowest paid professions. Food preparers, servers, fast food cooks, dishwashers, bartender helpers, but also, believe it or not, farm workers. These are some of the lowest paid jobs in the country. They all appear to earn less than $20,000 a year. And with 13 million people employed in food service in some capacity, you'd think there'd be more discussion about this or some action about this. So, Saru, is there discussion about this that you're seeing, and where is it happening? Because we're not hearing a lot about it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of discussion, much more discussion than we've seen now than in the last really decade. You know, we've seen Mark Bittman write about it in the New York Times. We've seen, we're getting a lot of attention on, you know, some mainstream media. I was on Bill Maher with HBO talking about it. We are seeing a ton of attention, more attention than before. It's not enough, certainly, to tip the scales. Because it's actually in total 20 million workers in the entire food system, and as you said, more than half are in just food service in the restaurant industry alone. It is just by itself the second largest and absolute fastest growing sector of the whole U.S. economy, not just the food system, and yet, as you mentioned, it actually happens to be the absolute lowest paying employer in the United States. So the two, you know, on that list that you mentioned of the U.S. Department of Labor putting out the 10 worst paying jobs in America every year the two absolute lowest paying jobs in America are actually not farm workers or what people might think of as really low-paying jobs, but actually restaurant workers, the people who serve our food. And so here we have one of the largest and fastest-growing industries in America proliferating the absolute lowest-paying jobs. And you have to ask yourself why. I mean, if they're growing so rapidly, constant expansion, really faster than almost any other industry in the U.S., they must have the money to do a little bit better by their workers, and yet they don't. And so the real source of that is political. We believe it's the National Restaurant Association, which has been named the 10th most powerful lobbying group in Congress and is incredibly powerful in San Francisco and California and really all over the country, and has fought to keep wages for these workers as low as possible. And in particular, in much of the country, not in California, but in much of the country, has won an exemption for tipped workers, keeping their wages at $2.13 an hour at the federal level. And so these are things that haven't yet reached, you know, a really very broad discussion. Most people don't know that when you travel outside of California, the tip that you leave on a restaurant table is actually not just a tip, it's actually the wage of the worker, that they get most of their wages from tips. And that most of these workers, in fact, 70% of them are women, women who work at the IHOP and Applebee's and Olive Garden, and besides suffering from extreme poverty wages, extreme poverty,
and so
you know, they
here,
food stamps at double the rate.
In California and across the country, fast food workers did go on strike last year. But it's not just fast food where this is an issue. Melissa Kogut, you work with chefs, director, you are executive director of Chefs Collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
This issue is, you know, even all the way up to the fancy expensive restaurants, right? Where workers might be treated poorly or paid unfairly. Can you give us an idea about kind of the fancier restaurants that people might not think when I'm leaving my tip there? That, you know, this tip is really, really, really important to the well-being of this person.
Yeah, you know, so Chefs Collaborative is, its main focus is on the ingredients side of the discussion. However, we have a lot of conversations about social justice and fair treatment, and we talk about sustainability as part of, you know, a value chain where everybody gets paid fairly, from the producers of our food to the people serving our food. And, you know, that's it's a really valuable discussion. We really applaud what ROC is doing, and I was just meeting, Saru, with one of your staff members yesterday here in Boston, where our office is based. And it's a conversation we want to bring to our members. It has not been an active, you know, platform of Chefs Collaborative to focus on this. But
okay.
It's been a really important discussion.
But what you are discussing is you kind of have this network of chefs, and you talk about changing the sustainable foods landscape using
Correct.
The power of connections, education, and responsible buying decisions. And I'm wondering if you can kind of unpack that a bit. You know, what does it really mean, actually, to be part of a sustainable food landscape?
Yeah. So, you know, the vast majority of food bought and sold in this country is not sustainable. And that the word sustainability is a word that we all use all the time. And in order to, you know, the devil's in the details. So part of what we talk about with our members is specifically, what does it mean when we're sourcing beef or pork or poultry, produce, dairy, you know, all, it's very complex and it's actually not black and white. So we help our member chefs understand what questions to ask. We're a national network. We have chefs and cooks all around the country, and we bring them together locally as well as nationally to share best practices and in sourcing resources.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say, Saru mentioned the Restaurant Association. They are not here to speak for themselves. But Melissa, I wanted to ask you, you know, you have rules kind of directed at restaurants, or like advice that you give,
mm-hmm.
responsible buying decisions when it comes to running a restaurant. What
mm-hmm.
are some of these?
Well, for example, you know, beef is one of the biggest challenges for restaurants to source responsibly or to source sustainably. And we look at a range of factors. Was the animal humanely treated? Were the, as well as the workers? Was it produced in an environmentally sound way? Were subtherapeutic antibiotics used in the production of this animal? So there's lots of questions to ask, and we encourage chefs to really know where their products are coming from, and to ask questions. And it's the same for consumers. Consumers need to ask those questions, and eaters and restaurants need to ask those questions too. Chicken is one of the hardest, believe it or not. It's one of the cheapest proteins on the menu, and we've all kind of gotten used to that. That, you know, this is the less expensive option on the menu. Unfortunately, it's really expensive to raise a chicken humanely and sustainably, and a lot of restaurants have still not figured out how to do it.
And so, because they also want to be profitable.
Exactly. And their customers are demanding to have chicken on the menu. I mean, it used to be back in the olden days that chicken was a special occasion dish. Mm. And, you know, we talk a lot about the real cost of food. There's such pressure for things to be available at a certain price. We're used to chicken being cheap. But if we're going to do it, if we're going to raise these animals humanely in an environmentally sound way, it costs more. You know, this is an unpopular thing to say in some circles, but maybe we should be eating less meat.
And how receptive are chefs to what you're saying right now?
I think chefs are really grappling with this. And many, many chefs are really committed to sourcing well and educating their customers. You know, there is backlash from customers who expect certain portion sizes when they order meat. And, you know, consumers and eaters, we all have to be part of this challenge, because we're all in it together. So it's a good, you know, I love to see when chefs are cooking with meat as flavor, and there's lots of ways to make delicious meals without a big slab of, you know, steak in the middle of your plate with a few sides.
And what kind of power do patrons really have to hold these restaurants accountable? You know, as I go there and order and sit down and wait for my order, am I really empowered?
Absolutely.
Should I be asking?
You know what's interesting is, despite the popularity of shows like Portlandia, where it appears, you know, people are asking all the time, where's this fish from? When I talk to our members, most of them say people don't ask questions. Mm. And so we really encourage people to ask questions. I would always ask, if I'm ordering beef or pork or fish on the menu, I ask where it's from. And if they don't know, I don't order it. Usually if the server doesn't know, they'll go back and ask the chef. And, you know, depending on the answer, you know, if there's a producer that raises animals humanely that we know, if it's an answer like that, there's no subtherapeutic antibiotics used, they're humanely treated, you know, those are the things I want to hear. Of course, there's no guarantee, but that we want to hear that thoughtful response.
How many people do you think really do that? When I, you know, get dressed and when I have a good night on the town with my husband and we choose a restaurant and we go and we sit down and there's this mood of, you know, I don't think it's the time to be thinking about antibiotics.
I know. I'll tell you, my friends hate going out with me because I'm always asking questions, but I realize it can be hard.
It's a little bit of a mood breaker.
I know. But it's really the guarantee. I mean, that's the way that you can know. Mm. And once you find a restaurant that you know is choosing carefully, you don't have to ask. But
and then the next question would be, okay, I asked this question. They gave me an answer, which was a positive answer. I liked it. How do I confirm that it's true? There are not a lot of resources out there where I can do that. Where can I go? And that answer actually might be with Saru. Saru Jayaraman, ROC, has an app, which my producers just showed me, and I opened it up. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the app I have it on my iPhone here where I'm searching restaurants, and then you actually rank the restaurants in terms of, you know, living wage. Do the workers have paid sick days in terms of the workers? So tell me a bit about that, and whether you would consider kind of bridging the food gap as well and bringing in the sustainability of food and rank that as well.
Yeah. So we, you know, as I was discussing before, there are three key issues that we feature in the app that are really the three priority issues for workers in this industry. One is poverty wages among both tipped and non-tipped workers. There is lack of benefits. 90% of these workers don't have paid sick days, which means two-thirds prepare, cook, and serve our food when sick. Now, that's not true in San Francisco, which has paid sick days required for everybody, but pretty much everywhere else it is true that workers don't have paid sick days. So if you just cross the bay into Oakland, Berkeley, and really anywhere else, these workers don't have paid sick days. And then lastly, pretty severe segregation and discrimination by race and gender, which is a problem also in San Francisco, in that lower level workers are often, or workers of color and women are often concentrated into lower wage positions and lower wage segments. So after many years of campaigning on these issues, consumers asked us, well, what can we do to actually help change this in this industry? How can we help? And so we really have said there are really three things we ask consumers. One is to educate yourself on these issues, and that's why we wrote the book Behind the Kitchen Door. We ask that people read it in the same way that, you know, Omnivore's Dilemma and Fast Food Nation helped kind of really open up issues around what people traditionally think of sustainability. We wrote the book Behind the Kitchen Door to help expand the definition of sustainability to include sustainable working conditions for the people who are touching and preparing our food, and really talk to consumers about the fact that, you know, these workers earning poverty wages and not having paid sick days not only impacts them and our economy, but also our health as the dining public. So the second thing we did is we actually created a consumer-facing website called the Welcome Table, and there people can sign petitions calling on Congress to do the right thing, because we actually don't believe that simply shopping differently is the way to solve these problems. We actually need to also, you know, voice our opinions in our democratic fora as well. But with regard to the app, we do feel like that is a third thing that people can do. We didn't create the app to tell diners where to eat and where not to eat. In fact, we created the app and the diner's guide as a tool for diners to use whenever they eat out, wherever they eat out. So we actually encourage people to eat out wherever, whenever, but using the app as a tool to speak up at the end of your meal wherever you eat and say to a manager or an owner, not a worker, but a manager or an owner, I love the food, I love the service, I don't know if you actually promote from within or provide paid sick days. I want you to know that the criteria in this app and how you fare on these criteria are important to me. If you do well, then let's work together and get your information submitted to this group so they can give you an award in this app.
Right.
And
let me just,
I want you to know as a consumer that these things are important to me.
And let me just tell our listeners where they can find the app. If you go on your mobile phone and search for ROC Diner's Guide, that's how I found it on my iPhone here, ROC Diner's Guide, you will find the app, and then it asks where your location is and gives you kind of rankings and ratings on the restaurants all around you. And you have some, you rank restaurants as either they take the high road or low road, high road versus low road. And surprisingly, some of the higher rating ones, like In-N-Out Burger, is, you know, surprisingly got a silver rating, for example. I wouldn't think of In-N-Out Burger. I don't know. I just wouldn't think of it as a higher road one off the top of my head, but that was a nice surprise. Some of the other high road restaurants that won awards in the Bay Area are Arizmendi in San Francisco, also in Oakland and Emeryville, Cafe Platano in Berkeley, Cosecha in Oakland, and Los Moles in Emeryville. And let me let our listeners know also that this is a call-in show. Give us a call, 866-798-TALK. If you'd like to call in and tell us where you dine, why you dine there, and, you know, whether you think about how the workers are treated, how the workers are paid, and also on the other side, where the food comes from, how it's grown, how the animals are treated. 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. If you'd like to give us a call, if you'd like to email us, you can do that at feedback@yourcallradio.org. We really want to hear from our listeners today. So, Melissa, do you think you can kind of get on this app wagon and create something that people can just kind of refer to, like a sustainable version of Zagat, for example, mm-hmm. kind of a diner's guide to sustainable food?
It's a great idea. And two things. One is, you know, our organization is really focused on helping chefs make changes. So we do that through educational opportunities and paving the way. We're not evaluating restaurants, but there are people that are. And, you know, one of them is the Eat Well Guide that I just was meeting with the folks at the Grace Foundation behind the Eat Well Guide, and I know that they're going to be dramatically updating their website. But there's a lot of information there about food sources and restaurants that are sustainable. So I encourage people to visit that website. And then, you know, as Saru says, people really need to be educated. There's no magic bullet in some ways for all of this. It really takes, unfortunately, getting to know some things about seasonality of food and what questions to ask about seafood, and then ask them, because they're not all going to be listed. Another great source is the Edible Communities magazines that really highlight sustainable restaurants, and that's especially if you're going and visiting from out of town, if you want to get a sense of who's doing what around sustainable food.
And what questions should we be asking?
Another great resource is Seafood Watch puts out a guide for consumers. They have an app as well. So if you're ordering seafood on a restaurant, you can look up on the guide, and it may tell you something like it's okay to eat this species from the Atlantic, but not the Pacific. So you could then ask a question: Where is this fish from? Mm. But again, it really takes either trusting the chef because you know that they're making great decisions, or asking questions. Seafood Watch does a great job with really providing quick information for consumers.
I know we focus on the meat and fish side of things, but are there any questions in regards to the vegetables and where they're grown and how they're grown?
Yeah, I would ask, one clue is thinking about if you shop at farmers markets, you'll have a really good idea of what's in season because that's what you're seeing at the market. If there's something not in season on the menu, I would ask, that would be a clue to me that this chef is not paying attention to what's local or what's in season. We're not a strict locavore organization, though. There's lots of things that go into a discussion about what's sustainable. So I would ask a question. Where is this from?
All right. And we'll ask more questions. We are coming up on a break. With me is Saru Jayaraman and Melissa Kogut. We're talking about food and restaurants. So give us a call, 866-798-8255. We'll be right back.
This is your call on KALW Local Public Radio. To join in today's conversation, the number to call is 866-798-8255, 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free call. If you prefer to write, the email address is feedback@yourcallradio.org. Also there on the website, you can just simply leave a message if you prefer, yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11, from the BBC, it's World Have Your Say, Ira Glass and This American Life at noon, and this afternoon at 1, it's Snap Judgment with Glenn Washington.
For those of you joining us now, I'm Hanat Baba, sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Today we're talking about how to eat out responsibly, enjoyably, but also ethically. And we have a number of guests with us on. Saru Jayaraman is co-founder and co-director of the Restaurant Opportunities Center United. Melissa Kogut is executive director of Chefs Collaborative. And with us also on the line is Anna LaPay, author and educator, known for her work as an expert on food systems and as a sustainable food advocate, author of many books, including Grub, Ideas for an Urban Organic Kitchen. Welcome, Anna, to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being on. And we want to hear from you, the listeners. Our lines are full, but they will be free soon. 866-798-TALK or 866-798-8255 or email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. And there are a number of you on the line. Let's just go straight to the phones. Let's start with Linda from Napa. Hi, welcome to Your Call.
Hi, thank you for taking. Oh, what a great program today.
Thank you.
I'm calling. I've been working for the last 30 years on certification of organic and pesticide residue-free food, and it occurred to me that probably one topic that really hasn't come up yet is that we talk about sustainable food and sustainability, but the definitions are hard to come by. Everyone seems to have their own definition, and it's in everyone's interest to claim to be sustainable. So over the past 7 years, I've been a participant on a national committee that is establishing a national sustainable agriculture standard that is defining for the U.S. what it means to make a claim that your food is produced in a sustainable manner. The program, the standard so far has been written for plant crops, so for fresh fruits and vegetables and commodity crops, but over time will extend to include production of meats as well. So I think it would be useful for everyone who's listening to know that this standard is in a public comment period right now, and if people are interested in learning more about what a national sustainable agriculture standard would look like, they can go to the LeonardoAcademy.org website. LeonardoAcademy.org is the nonprofit organization that is sponsoring the writing of this national standard, and everyone
Great.
Is welcome to submit comments.
Okay, thank you so much, Linda, and we will put that information up on our website. Anna LaPay, so Linda's saying there is no national standard, and everybody, you know, can claim that they're sustainable, but what does it actually mean?
Well, I think actually there are some really strong standards. I mean, one of them, of course, is our USDA organic certification. That does actually give you, as a consumer, a real assurance about how your food, whether it was produce or meat and dairy, how it was grown and produced. And so I think we want to really be clear to consumers that, yes, of course, there are people who are going way beyond that USDA standard. And, yes, there are some claims that that products are quote-unquote sustainable when they're not, but one of the things that we can trust is that USDA seal. And what that means, and this is, you know, very important for me as a mom of two young kids, what that means if you're consuming meat and dairy, if it's been raised organically, it means that no artificial growth hormones were used. It means a whole range of things that both create higher quality, better meat and dairy products, but also, I think, better experience for those animals. And when you're talking about organic produce, you're talking about crops that have been raised without genetic engineering, without irradiation, without sewage sludge spread across the fields, and without toxic pesticides used in those production practices. So I think it's important for us to say, yes, it can be very confusing out there, but we also don't want consumers to throw up their hands and say, oh, there's just no way to know, so forget it, I won't try. And for me, as both an advocate and also someone who goes out to eat and also goes shopping for my food, for me, the organizations like Chefs Collaborative and like Sara's organization, the Restaurant Opportunities Center United, are two of the best organizations we have in this country, really both helping educate chefs and restaurateurs and also educating us about how we make ethical choices about not just what we're eating, but where we are going to, whether it's out to eat or buy our food.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to another caller. Let's go to Tricia in Berkeley. Hi, Tricia. Welcome to the show. Tricia?
I have a comment to make. I think the show is very interesting, but I think you can't really have a discussion about the treatment of restaurant workers without talking about the dependence of restaurants, at least restaurants in the Bay Area, on undocumented laborers and how they are being taken advantage of in restaurants. I have some personal experience with this with restaurants in Berkeley where they are taking the tips away from workers and making that part of deducting that from the wages. Mm. Another restaurant in Berkeley where they haven't paid their undocumented workers since December, their kitchen help, and the workers are scared. They don't have any place to go to. And I think just knowing, I know personally of three restaurants that are taking advantage of undocumented workers. I'm sure there's many more. That's just me personally. I want to know, just think that the discussion should be open to that, too.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call, Tricia. Saru Jayaraman, why don't you touch on that issue for us of undocumented workers having no place to go and feeling lost?
Well, undocumented workers do have a place to go. We have a Rock affiliate here in the Bay Area based in Oakland, and they can definitely come, and we organize workers, support them, train them in their rights, and undocumented workers actually do have rights in this country. We've actually won millions of dollars in back pay through litigation and organizing campaigns for undocumented workers, and in all of those situations, undocumented workers actually led those campaigns, went to court, fought for their rights, and won, and are still working at those restaurants. So I think oftentimes many people don't know undocumented workers actually do have rights. Mm. When they are hired at these restaurants, they need to be paid and treated like everyone else, and actually they have the legal right to reclaim wages when they're not paid and treated like everyone else. But of course, status is used as a threat by employers to say, don't speak up or I will call for you to be deported, or I will do something to you, I will expose you. Quite often that's never actually what the employer intends to do, but rather a threat. I will say that, unfortunately, all different kinds of threats are used on all different kinds of people. So for undocumented workers' status, for women, other threats are used around, we've heard too many cases of women being demanded sexual favors in exchange for promotions or proper treatment in a restaurant. We've had situations where women are forced to flash for an employer or kiss an employer to get their paycheck. I think the issue on the whole is that you've got an industry that is both the lowest paying industry in the United States with the least benefits, and according to the Department of Labor themselves, is an industry that considers itself to be above the law, that has a pervasive culture of not complying with basic labor standards. Mm. And so I think beyond the issue of status, we need to, as consumers, be speaking up every time we eat out, demanding that that these employers treat their workers fairly with livable pay and proper
right.
Proper
provided, stuff. It's hard to see those things if they're behind closed doors, but just keeping an eye out. As a consumer. The number again to give us a call is 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255. What questions do you have for our panel about food, sustainability, workers' rights in restaurants? And we also want to hear from you in terms of where you dine and why you dine there. And if you can, give us some tips on some good restaurants to go to where you've seen sustainable practices being practiced or workers are paid well there. 866-798-TALK. And so, Tricia from Berkeley, I hope you heard that the workers that can go to ROC and get help there. Let's go to another caller, Joyce from Palo Alto. Hi, welcome.
Hi. The restaurant I go to for my birthday, special occasions, is Jessie Cools, and I'm surprised that you didn't mention her because she's been a pioneer in local food, sustainability, and ethical treatment.
Okay. Where is that?
Animals that fed, she serves, and people that serve in her restaurants and catering. She really helped, like I know Full Belly Foods, that she worked a partnership with them, and they go to farmers markets and provide wonderful food. And she's worked a bunch of partnerships like that. Also with wineries and trying to promote local wineries and local products, period. She's fabulous. So she should certainly be mentioned.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Joyce, for that recommendation. Saru, Melissa, and Anna, I want to ask you about recommendations. Anna, let's start with you.
Well, you were mentioning this question of what's sustainable seafood, and Melissa mentioned the fabulous Monterey Bay Aquarium's Seafood Watch Guide, and that's definitely something that I consult, but I think really trusting where your fish or seafood comes from is, I think, a very, very tricky question, and one of my favorite places, and really actually the only place that I eat seafood in the Bay Area, is a sushi restaurant called Tataki, and there's two locations in San Francisco, and when you walk into the restaurant, in one location, you see a sign that says, "We wrote the book on sustainable sushi," and then it says, "You know, no, really, we did." And there's a book about sustainable sushi, sustainable fish. And that restaurant, they really, really pride themselves in very careful selection of not just what variety of fish, but really knowing the fishermen that they're working with, understanding those practices, really tracing it back to where it's from. And so that's one of those restaurants I feel like I can really trust where the seafood comes from. Mm. I also, myself in my community in Berkeley, started a CSA drop point for a local fish CSA, which is a community-supported agriculture program where we get weekly fish from local fisher folks all up and down the coast near us. And that's another way that people can trust where their food is coming from, belonging to a farm or belonging to a CSA like we do with the Seafood and Fish CSA.
Okay, we'll have all those links up on our website at yourcallradio.org. Keep those calls coming at 866-798-TALK. Saru, a local restaurant recommendation.
I have several. You mentioned many of them that are that have awards in our app. This, you know, Cosecha in Oakland, and then there's actually an employer who everybody knows who has a restaurant in San Francisco, which is Tom Colicchio and his Craft restaurant at Craftwich in San Francisco. He's an excellent employer, really, you know, an exceptional employer. Somebody who treats his workers well, pays them well, has a commitment to promotion from within. But, you know, definitely go to our app to see a longer list of small, great restaurants. There's another restaurant in San Francisco, Zazie's, also a wonderful employer. I will say to the caller and to everybody that, you know, we have certain guidelines with regard to worker treatment, and unfortunately, it isn't always the case that employers who are really good about organic or local sourcing are good employers. In fact, sometimes the opposite is true, and that's unfortunate. And all we're asking for is, you know, that we embrace sustainability in the fullest concept of what I think to be sustainability, that it is about local sourcing, it is about organic, it's about healthy, it's about being environmentally conscious, it's about really thinking about the humane treatment of animals, but it's also about the humane treatment of the people who are cooking and preparing and serving that food. And so I think what we're all striving for is, you know, is our folks who really, really embrace sustainability on all of these different dimensions, and nobody's perfect. I really want to say on this call, I don't think anybody expects anybody to be perfect, but that we're all striving towards these bigger goals, and that we all accept as goals each of these different aspects of sustainability, not leaving the worker piece out and focusing on the environmental or focusing on the worker and leaving out the animals or the environment. I think it's about really making sure that you're always striving to do the best that you can on all of those areas.
And Melissa, we know you're in Boston, but maybe you visit San Francisco? Local?
Absolutely. I live in Boston, but I love coming to San Francisco. You know, Jessie Kuhl was mentioned by one of your callers, and I just wanted to say she's one of our founding board members of the organization, and I would recommend any of her restaurants, Flea Street being one of them. Delfina's Water Bar. These are all places where sustainability is front and center.
All right. And we'd also like to invite our Santa Cruz listeners in on letting us know, you know, where should people be dining? What experiences do you have in the Santa Cruz area in terms of restaurants that you've seen or you have knowledge of their level of sustainability or how they treat their workers? Again, the number is 866-798-8255. I'm looking at the ROC app right now, and it has lots of question marks sometimes next to things, like I'm looking at the Boston Market that's closest to us here, and there's the part on, well, paid sick days. This restaurant does not provide paid sick days to their employees. Advancement opportunities. It says, despite several attempts, this restaurant refused to report on this criterion. How do you get this information at the end of the day, Saru, if people just don't want to give you the information?
Yeah, so we actually call management in these restaurant companies and try to find out what are the standards set, and we work with universities actually to do these surveys to make sure that it's academically sound and rigorous. When we are ready to give somebody an award, we actually check to make sure that what they're saying is true. We ask for proof. We talk to workers. And that, to me, is the key in any monitoring system. You know, this has been some of the issues with fair trade, or really any monitoring system that claims, you know, anything about worker treatment. Unless workers are involved and have a voice and have a place where they can actually go to a safe space, a worker organization where they can say, this is not actually true, you don't actually know if it's true or not. And so that's why, to us, it's critical that any monitoring or certification have a component of monitoring that involves the people who are most affected being able to speak up about whether it's true or not. And that's why we joined the Domestic Fair Trade Association's. We've created something called the Food Chain Workers Alliance, which is an alliance of workers throughout the food system. And as a collective, we joined the Domestic Fair Trade Association, which is kind of creating a certification of certifications, a standard that certifications should be following in putting their seal of approval on something. And this is one of them, that if you're saying that workers are treated well, that there's some way to actually monitor that
right.
Workers have a safe space that they can come to. So it's hard to get the information, but this is why I keep coming back to, this is actually not about just giving you the tools so you know where to eat and where not to eat. This is actually just to empower you to go and ask the questions and say something, because we have seen this industry change as a result of consumer inquiry and demand. We've seen change occur on issues of local and organic. We've seen that become more of a trend in the industry as a result of consumer demand.
Okay.
We think that consumers picking up on these issues could also have an impact on employers saying, consumers seem to care about whether or not I provide paid sick days. I probably should.
All right. We have a number of callers on the line. Let's go to Matthew from San Francisco. Welcome.
Hi. Very interesting conversation you guys are having. I actually moved to San Francisco from Vancouver, and as a result of being very, very upset by the fact it's very difficult to know what is in your food, whether it's GMO, whether it's sustainable, who's telling the truth. You know, you get these catchphrases, sustainable, organic, local, but a lot of restaurants that tout these things have, really, they don't tell you what is and what isn't. And so as a result of that, because I believe, you know, consumers' health is very directly impacted by these things, as well as planetary health and knowing what is in your food is so important, that I actually started a chain of restaurants, never having worked in a restaurant in my life. And so the idea was to be the filter for people. I haven't heard you guys mention the restaurants. I think partially we don't really do any marketing, but basically, every single ingredient in everything we serve is 100% USDA organic. We started trying to buy baked goods, and we'd find that a lot of the baked goods would have organic flour, but not butter or eggs, which are some of the more important parts of the ingredients. And so we started making our own baked goods from scratch, sauces, everything.
Hey, Matthew, before we forget, where can we get some of that? What are your restaurants called? And
so
where are they?
They're all called The Plant Cafe Organic. The Plant, yeah. And we started by opening, me and my business partner, who is a friend of mine, and we were both just frustrated by the fact it's so difficult. You know, the GMO vote that lost was really frightening to me. And so we started this, and we just decided to be purists about it. So because it's so difficult to know every single thing, so instead of saying what is 100% organic, we tell you what isn't in terms of an ingredient. I think we have maybe 6 or 7 out of hundreds. And those, you know, for example, we have some cheeses that are artisanal, but they're not certified organic. So we say this is not a certified organic cheese. It's still local and, you know, from a sustainable source. Rice paper wrappers for our spring rolls, we don't make those ourselves, and we haven't been able to find them organic. So,
and where can we find these restaurants? Where are you located?
So we are located. There's actually 6 of them now.
Ooh.
And, yeah, we opened the first one in 2006 in the marina. It was called Lettuce, actually, L-E-T-T-U-S, but we changed the name to the plant for trademark issues. But, yeah, so that's Steiner and Chestnut. There's one on the Embarcadero, Pier 3, so very close to the Ferry Building, which is a full-service restaurant. We've got one downtown financial district on Front and Pine Street. We've got one in Mill Valley in Strawberry Village. And then the latest one is in Burlingame, on Burlingame Avenue in Primrose.
So it sounds like you have the food side down. Now that we have you on the phone, what about the labor side? What kind of wages do you give your workers? Do they have paid sick leave? We're going to put you on the spot.
Absolutely. So let me get to that in 1 second, because I want to mention one other thing. So we're
we have limited time, Matthew.
Okay. But I I just wanted to say that we don't serve any red meat because of the carbon footprint, but all of our seafood is 100% sustainable from the Seafood Watch, and all of our poultry is 100% organic and local. So anyway, in terms of the labor side, you know, we pay minimum wage and above, start there at certain positions. One thing I will say is I had never worked in the restaurant business before, and our margins are tight. They are so tight that, you know, part of the year we're losing money and part of the year we're getting money back. But it is so much work, and so we provide health care outside of San Francisco, inside of San Francisco.
You provide health care, okay.
We provide health care places we're not required to, at least. And we have a very fair wage. You know, our chefs do well. We don't pay incredibly huge wages because, for a sous chef, for example, we're not charging massive amounts. We're not a coquette. But what I would say is it's very difficult to keep your margins, like, profit margins,
and to be profitable doing all of this at the same time. I'm sorry, we had to move on, Matthew, but thank you so much. That was very interesting to hear from a restaurant owner. And let's go on actually to Sandy from Sacramento. Hey, Sandy.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Great. My husband works at Grange Restaurant in Sacramento. And Grange was one of the first ones up there doing the whole farm-to-fork concept. And he's been in the restaurant business for many, many years. Everything on the menu is not organic, but they pretty much tell you right on the menu if it's organic or sustainable or where it's from. Their goal is to get everything within 100 miles. And as far as the worker end of things, one of the reasons he has such great benefits is because they are part of a hotel, and they are part of a union.
Mm.
So this is he's been in the restaurant business, oh gosh, I'd say over 25 years, and he's been with Grange for about 6 years. This is the first time he's had medical benefits, which for our family is tremendous. And the union medical benefits just kicked in this last year, and it's the best plan we've ever had.
Okay,
so
great.
So that is good. However, he was sick last week. He does get paid sick days. And he missed a few days with the flu. And then last night at work, his foot started hurting. He happened to mention this morning that, you know, he didn't even want to tell his boss because he just had that sick time, you know. So
there's still issues to work out.
Yeah, there's still that environment.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the call. Also, we want to mention listener David called in and recommended a website to find vegetarian restaurants, and it's happycow.com, happycow.com. So, again, we're going to have all of this information up on yourcallradio.org. Let's go to a last caller, actually. Let's go to Francis from Santa Cruz. Francis, you have a restaurant to recommend in Santa Cruz. Go ahead.
Yes, it's called the Silver Spur, and it's on SoCal in Santa Cruz. And the food is delicious, but mainly I like it because I know that the workers there are well compensated, and you can just see it in the workers' faces.
Oh, see it.
And I know it for a fact that they are paid well above the minimum wage.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that. Again, all of that stuff is going to be on our website. We have time for just like 10 seconds from each of our guests. Saru, what's the takeaway?
As I've said, speak up when you eat out. Please speak up not just about local and organic, but speak up and let managers and employers know that actually workers being treated well is really important to you. Wages, paid sick days, advancement from within.
Thank you. All right, Melissa Kogut.
Yeah, I would say educate yourself, ask questions, and check resources. And I also want to put a plug in for the Chef's Collaborative Cookbook because it's a wealth of information and great recipes.
All right, go in on the website. Anna LaPay.
Yeah, well, ditto to what both Saru and Melissa said. And then I would just also add that, you know, we talked a lot about what we can do individually when we walk in through that restaurant door, how we can speak up. As Saru said, that really does make a difference. But I also want to remind all of us that one of the things that we all can do is speak up to try to raise the floor for all restaurant workers. So doing things like Saru and her team at Rock United have been really pivotal in this on the national level, but doing things like speaking up for saying, you know, we want to see that tipped minimum wage at $2.13 go up. That's just crazy at this day and age that that's what the tipped minimum wage is.
And we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much to all our guests, Saru Jayaraman, Melissa Kogut, Anna LaPay. Awesome discussion. Thank you very much. I'm Hannah Baba sitting in for Rose Aguilar. This is Your Call. What is happening in post-Chavez Venezuela? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation about the political landscape in Venezuela. Since early February, a wave of pro- and anti-government demonstrations has been sweeping the country. So far, 18 people have been killed and hundreds others wounded. What sparked the protests? What political forces are at play on the streets? And how are these protests shaping the country's future? Join the conversation on the next Your Call with Rose Aguilar and you.
Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.